Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., a man who is very, very happy to serve as your host and your producer. Good to have you back with me, and I have a question to ask you. What are some causes of cancer? Yep, what are some causes of cancer? Okay, now we know some of the more obvious ones, right? Like smoking. That tobacco and stuff in them cigarettes can sure enough cause some problems, including cancer. What are some other possible causes of cancer? How about possibly lack of vitamin D3? Or to put it another way, vitamin D3 deficiency. Some of you have been doing some reading. Some of you have been listening to the program and you were ready for that one. Yes, vitamin D3. As a matter of fact, men, one of the forms of cancer or one of the types of cancer that men can develop as a result of vitamin D3, vitamin D3 deficiency. There's a reason I'm emphasizing three. Not all vitamin D is created equal. You can be taking a multivitamin, which may contain a fair amount of vitamin D2, and still have problems with your bones, still have problems with vitamin D3 deficiency, and still be in a place where you could develop prostate cancer. Yes, vitamin D3 deficiency in men can lead to prostate cancer. Ladies, vitamin D3 deficiency in your bodies can possibly lead to ovarian cancer, breast cancer. Yeah, vitamin D3 is muy importante. Yes, es muy importante. It is very important. Vitamin D3. So, cigarette smoking can cause cancer. Vitamin D3 deficiency can cause cancer. How about this one? How about the stuff that we drink? What are the chances that what we drink can possibly cause cancer? This is something I've been wanting to get to for several weeks now and never did get to it. I just kept addressing other issues, which isn't bad. I mean, I needed to address those issues, but I've been wanting to get to this one because I'm telling you, I'm thinking that a whole lot of people will be probably surprised by this. Something that we drink. Now, I'm asking about drinking. I'm going to say this now. And you might be thinking, okay, what about, and you probably have a particular type of drink in mind that can possibly cause cancer, even if you hadn't thought previously about beverages, stuff we drink that can possibly cause cancer. But let me just give you a heads up. I might be getting ready to throw you a curve. I'm going to be talking about drinks now. It will be about drinks, beverages. But it may not. Okay, so let's go with the beverage that is probably one of the more obvious ones that can have a link to cancer, one of the first kinds of beverages that people started thinking about when I said, I'm going to talk about something that we drink, and that is alcohol. Yes, strong links between alcohol and a number of types of cancer. And I tell you, you might just think, okay, well, maybe so. Well, head and neck cancer, National Cancer Institute, says that alcohol consumption is a major risk factor for these types of cancers. And Anyone who's consuming 50 or more grams of alcohol per day, which is roughly 3.5 or more drinks each day, have at least 2 to 3 times greater risk of developing these cancers than non-drinkers. How about esophageal cancer? Cancer of the esophagus. Alcohol consumption can be a major risk factor for that. Breast cancer. And there have been more than 100 epidemiologic studies that have looked at the association between alcohol consumption and the risk of breast cancer in women. And for women who drank more than 45 grams of alcohol per day, that's roughly 3 drinks per day, had 1.5 times the risk of developing breast cancer as those who did not drink at all, drink no alcohol. Okay, so I think, you know, we have enough information there to help us conclude that alcohol consumption can lead to cancer. So that is definitely proof positive that, yes, what we drink can cause cancer. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not referring to alcohol. I'm thinking about something that seems much more harmless than alcohol. Let me see if I can give you some clues that can kind of walk you into this so that you give me the answer. You tell me what other type of beverage I'm thinking about. And I'm sharing this with you courtesy of Medical News Today. Beverage that can cause cancer. Okay, so here are some more clues. How many of you either sing yourselves, or you know people who are singers, or maybe you have listened to interviews that featured professional singers? And have you ever heard and or read about some of the things that people who sing for a living do to take care of their vocal cords? Yeah, one of the things is they try to avoid cold beverages, period. It is not a good idea for people who sing. Now, this is true of people who speak a lot too, but especially singers. It's not a good idea to drink cold beverages. That is traumatic to your vocal cords. Yes, don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to share some information that can probably help your voice sound even better than it already sounds, while, of course, at the same time, and this being my primary goal, to help you take better care of your vocal cords. It's a good idea when you go to the restaurant, when you're eating at home, when you're drinking at home, even during the summertime, and it's 98 degrees outside. Limit the number of ice cubes you put in your drink, whether that means you put 2 or 3 cubes at the most, or no ice in your drinks. I mean 0, set of 9, none. Now, I know that might sound almost abusive. What? Summertime? No ice in the drink? But what about this? What if you were to, say, maybe get a cube of ice, 1 cube of ice, singers, put that in your drink, 1 cube of ice, put it in your drink, let it melt maybe halfway. Half of the ice cube becomes part of your liquid. You get a spoon or a fork, dip the rest of the ice cube out, boom, toss it in the sink. So that the drink is cooled off a bit, but it's not cold. Or what if you had it room temperature? Let's say you're drinking some Kool-Aid or something that doesn't necessarily have to be in the refrigerator all day. You may not want to leave it out overnight, but if it's safe to leave it out during the day, you leave it out during the day. You want it slightly chilled. What if you were to put it in the refrigerator or even in the freezer just long enough to give it a bit of coolness, not to make it cold now, because cold is not good for the vocal cords. Truth be told, a lot of experts are talking about how drinking cold liquids isn't good for the body, period. But I'm just focusing on the vocal cords for now. So what do you want to do? You want to go ahead and take care of those vocal cords, be a little chilled. Well, you may want to just cool that drink a bit, make it better. You know, I can understand some drinks really do taste better when they're colder. I understand that. But we're trying to find the best of both worlds. We're trying to find that happy medium. And so we might need to go ahead and have it much less cool than we want it. And you may want to try this, you know, doing it a bit at a time. Practice. Okay, you're used to putting 7 cubes of ice in your drinks. Well, what if you were to put 5 cubes of ice in your drink? Do that for a week or two. And then for the next week or two, 3 cubes of ice in your drink. Because you know what has to make the adjustment more than your vocal cords is your brain. Yeah, psychologically, this is what we're used to doing. And a lot of the adjustment really has to take place upstairs, because your vocal cords aren't going to have a difficult time adjusting to drinking beverages that aren't freezing. Yeah. So just do it gradually. Reduce the amount of cold so that maybe you get it close to room temperature. I know somebody is ready to be upset with me. I'm just trying to help you. It's just an idea. Now, but that said, what is one of the other steps that you've heard and or read that professional singers take in helping to look out for their vocal cords so that they can sing better? Okay, so I've already talked about avoiding cold drinks. Very often, for a long time, professional singers were advised to drink hot liquids. So avoid the one extreme, but go to the other extreme. Avoid the extreme of cold, but go to the extreme of hot. Not hot enough to scald the vocal cords. That would be abusive. But hot, not scalding hot, but hot, as in hot tea. Not room temperature tea. The recommendation was hot tea. And I've heard vocalists talk about how one of the things they do to preserve their vocal cords is they drink a lot of hot tea. But guess what? There's a new report from the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer that offers some good news for coffee drinkers. How many of you like drinking your coffee hot? Well, this new study concludes that coffee is unlikely to increase cancer risk. There was some concern that that may have been a risk. The coffee, period, may increase cancer risk. Well, according to this new study, coffee may actually reduce cancer risk. But now check this out. That same report found that consuming very hot drinks could raise the risk of esophageal cancer. Ah, where did we hear that earlier? When we were talking about alcohol consumption. One of the cancers associated with alcohol consumption, esophageal cancer. Almost as though there's some relation there. Heat, heat. Yes. Hot drinks, very hot drinks, could possibly raise the risk of esophageal cancer. Researchers from across 10 countries, including Mariana Stern, who's associate professor of preventive medicine and urology at the University of Southern California, published their findings in The Lancet Oncology. The team reached this conclusion by reviewing more than 1,000 studies that looked at how consumption of hot beverages, including coffee, yerba mate, and tea, may influence the risk of numerous cancers. The carcinogenic effects of coffee consumption were last evaluated by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, or the IARC, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, in 1991. That review deemed drinking coffee as possibly carcinogenic to humans after identifying limited evidence of a link between consumption of coffee and bladder cancer. However, the IARC note that there have been numerous studies assessing the effects of coffee consumption over the past 25 years, and those studies may explain the previous link with bladder cancer, which prompted a new review. The new review concluded that overall, there's inadequate evidence to suggest that coffee consumption increases the risk of cancer. The majority of the studies showed coffee consumption does not increase the risk of cancers of the pancreas or the breast or the prostate. Additionally, the review found that drinking a cup of coffee each day may actually reduce the risk of liver cancer by 15%, while studies also showed a reduced risk of uterine and endometrial cancers with coffee consumption. How many of you are coffee drinkers? Do any of you step up your consumption of coffee during the winter months when it's cold outside? Yes. And you want to warm up. Or, for that matter, maybe you want to be warm when you step outside so you can handle that cold a little better when you step out there. And then, after having a little bit of a chill, walk into your car. Some of you still waiting for the car to warm up as you get ready to pull off. Then walking from your car to whatever building you've walked to, you're ready to drink some more hot so you can heat up a bit, warm up a bit after coping with the cold. Do you get a little bit more hot coffee? Or, for those of you who are not coffee drinkers, hot tea, once you get into the building and get settled? Were you getting upset when I said, uh-oh, there may have been some links between very hot drinks and cancers? No need to get upset. There's still hope. Check this out. The link between coffee consumption and 20 other cancers was inconclusive, according to the review. Now, notice we're still focusing on coffee now and not so much hot. We'll get to hot, but right now the focus is coffee. The IARC The International Agency for Research on Cancer, the IARC, say that the new findings do not mean that the last review was wrong to conclude a possible link between coffee consumption and bladder cancer, but that more studies are now available to conclude that the previously identified risk was due to other factors such as smoking. Well, if they said that there was a possible link between coffee consumption and bladder cancer, I think they're okay. But if they said conclusively at some point in the past that there was a link between coffee consumption and bladder cancer, and now they discover there is no link between the two, maybe that first conclusion was wrong. Nevertheless, when they're talking about hot, and they're saying drinking very hot drinks can possibly cause cancer of the esophagus, what counts as very hot? I will tell you when I come back.